Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
You look good. Of course, you're all in the dark. We walk by faith. Wow, it's wonderful to be here. I really believe that God has something this morning. And, you know, I said, Lord, before I explode on you here, I said, Lord, you know, I like fire brand preaching. I just like fire just flowing. But what I really want is that they leave here with something. They go back home. They don't think about the speaker, but they think about what they receive from heaven. And they're able to apply it and walk with you in it and to overcome the situations that are in their life. That brings glory to Jesus. That makes us stronger. And it kicks the devil in the teeth. And that's what I really like. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Lord, we just thank you. Any opportunity that we can pray, we're going to pray. And because this service is not about just talking about the Bible. Lord, I've seen that in my own homeland. In the hour that we live in, Lord Jesus, we don't need to talk about you, to you. We need to talk what you're saying. We need to speak your words with faith and to hear with faith. Lord, today we're with family. This is family time. I'm asking you to lift this place. I'm asking that ears would be hearing ears so that faith would come. That substance and that evidence, that faith shield, that faith spirit. Lord, right now I know that there are situations in people's lives. And Lord, they're here this morning. They're not even really thinking about the wonderful worship or the preaching. They're here. They've got problems in their life. And Lord, I'm interceding that before this meeting's over, they're going to get a touch from God, a word from God, a breakthrough from God, so that they're going to change so that they can get more of you. Lord, that's my prayer. I know when you've done it for me, and that's what I covet for them. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise. Angel of the Lord, I release you right now. You will minister by the preaching of the authority of the Word of God to bring healing and deliverance and to bring blessings that were paid for by blood. Lord, we love you so much today, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, you can be seated, but you know, if we can just stop and pray, we'll just stop and pray. You know, we need to learn to do these with Jesus. And sometimes when we preach, sometimes we need to pull back and say, hey, Lord, let's just talk to you for a second. Am I going the right way with this? Say no. Okay. You know, Jesus is alive. And when you read the book of Revelation, he's very clear that the pulpit has an angel assigned to it so that the ministry of the good shepherd can minister to his people. So I said, Lord, I want to be careful what I say because I want to work with the angels so that Jesus, you are able to feed your people and then you're glorified. So, you know, I don't know. You travel around and you hear things that come out of the pulpit and you just kind of scratch your head. You say, that was boring. There was no faith in it. Or why are you criticizing? If you keep doing that, you're not going to get that ministry of the angel. He's going to leave.
That's right.
No, you're so important to God that he wants to lift you and help you. And by listening to his word, something happens. Faith comes. And when faith comes, it rises up in you to start to do different, speak different, and receive different. And I know in my own life that That sometimes my faith, I'm going through the motions, the grace of God is in operation. And the Lord says, you need to build your faith because there are things that I'm going to ask you to do that you can't do in yourself. And if you don't start building your faith, you're not going to be able to walk in what I'm directing. So, yes, sir. You know, we've been in Florida now 4 years, and we were living in Latvia, and the Lord, you know, I said, Lord, why did you bring us back here and to Florida? And because it's been kind of uncomfortable for me, especially because I'm more European in my heart. Now, I know you're laughing because I don't sound like you and I don't sound like anyone else in Europe, but I understand Europe. That's why when I can come into London, I can break through by His grace. And thousands of people begin to receive the gospel and come to you with the ministry of angels. Why? Because I understand the soil here. I love this place. But the Lord took us back to the States. And I said, Lord, you know, we're just really wanting something. There's more. And it's been like, you know, a narrow place for me. And then the Lord just spoke to us. He said, it's been a non-commodious harbor. Now he's talking King James. I like King James. It's your language. And he said, you're on your way. You're not outside my will, but I called you to be placed in a place where the harbor wasn't the best for your boat. It's felt a little narrow and shallow for your ministry. But he said, I want you to look at what I've done in your family. I said, yeah, not only every need has been met, but they've excelled. And the ministry abroad and everywhere else has excelled. It's just being there for me. It's felt like I've been in a harbor that's been shallow. And I said, well, Lord, I just learned something. See, I was raised in firebrand preaching where I just thought ministry was number one. Everything your family does is ministry, ministry, ministry. And in one sense, that's true. And it's good. But I said, Lord, you have taken care of us in a way I could not have figured out. And then he said, well, there were storms you didn't know that were out there. And if you had leaned to your natural mind, they would have caused damage.
Yes, that's right.
That's why I put you in a place that seemed like a harbor that was narrow for you, but the needs of the family were abundantly met. I said, Jesus, it's not about ministry, it's about you and how much you really care about my family. You really care about their callings and their purposes and not just mine.
Hallelujah.
I said, Lord, you're good. He said, and I'm better than that. I said, Jesus, you're really good. I said, if I had leaned in my mind, it would have all been ministry and where I could have excelled as a minister and my family follow me. And that's not necessarily wrong. But there are things that my family needed. That my ministry would flourish if I just trust him and let them get into a place. Now, why am I saying that? I'm trying to express to you is that Jesus is real. He's not the church. He's the head of the church. Amen?
Yeah.
And when we learn to trust him by faith to know him, a lot of times you end up saying, you're different than I thought you were. And you are good. Yeah, he's very good. And so my hope this morning is somehow that you just come out of here with maybe a freshness of Jesus and a personal Jesus who really cares about you. I mean, my goodness, on the hillside, who would have thought there would have been 12 empty baskets waiting for a miracle from heaven? The disciples were going, we've got to go down to Calvary. We got to get out of here. There's nothing here. And Jesus said, well, why don't you feed them? And they said, what? You're putting the pressure on us. He was trying to get them to use their faith.
That's right.
He had already knew what he was going to do. And there were already baskets waiting. The disciples were learning, trust the Lord. He's got it taken care of. Usually when we begin to rely on our mind or what people think, guess what happens? We find ourselves in a place of want. Why? Because the provision was already over here. And somehow we're over here. And we say, well, it must have been the Lord teaching us. No, you miss God. That was mean. I'm sorry, but it's true. There's no place in the New Testament where Jesus and the disciples came out short. Coming out short is man's side. Jesus, I'm a little short of my tax money. Let's go fishing. Go fishing? I don't want to go fishing. I got to go get another job. I got to do something. I got to pay my taxes. Do you trust me? Yes? Let's go fishing. You got it? He's good. He really is good. And he really loves you. And right now I'm looking at a crowd of people. I don't know who you are. It's a little bit dark. But where you are, I pray that through those eyes, as you're looking up here, something begins to burn in your heart that, hey, Jesus, I need to stir my faith up and start trusting you again on a new level. Because I believe we need to go to a new level. So the Lord said to me, he said, now I'm taking your boat out of the harbor. You're going to start to sense a gradual deepening of the waters. You got 8 months. Jack your faith up. That's American expression. Get it moving up. Get ready. I said, oh, hallelujah. We're already sensing deepness. Come. Kids are doing well. My marriage is great. Thank God. Following the Lord, making him Lord of the home. I just got off the phone with my brother. He's a businessman in Chicago. And he said, I want you to pray right now. I said, okay. He said, I've got 120 businessmen coming in Chicago to do a presentation. And I've got a man coming from Billy Graham's ministry, and we're going to do an hour presentation with these top guys. They're Christians. They don't know how to share the faith so well, but we're going to give a vision of how we can begin to impact businessmen, because there's an interest out there brewing. People want to know more about Christ, and they're going to use the Alpha program, and y'all are very familiar with that. And I'm thinking, wow. You're touching people I don't even get close to, unless they're on the street. And I think, wow. And then my other brother, he calls and says, you know, he's in healthcare. He says, we just led an elderly woman. She's ready to die, but she gave her heart to Christ. And we're teaching the word. We have Bible studies going. And I think, wow. So one brother in Chicago, businessman, the other brother with the elderly, getting them saved. And then I carry the cross and witness to people all over the earth. And the reason I share that with you is going to be my message. Why? I want to tell you about my mom. My mom, when she was 6 years old, she was born into a revival family. The preacher, Percy Trueblood, came into Martinsville, Virginia, mountains of Virginia, small place, had a 2-week crusade, and grandma got saved, wonderfully saved. And she said, because my grandma's 92 now, and I said the other day, I said, how'd you learn to pray? Well, she said, after the revival, she said, the pastor called for Monday night prayers. And she said, when we would gather to pray after the revival, we were taking what was in the revival and learning to pray. So what happened with her life, she She didn't just get born again. She immediately was taught how to pray. And she said we would just, it was almost like we were floating to the ceiling in the glory of God as we would pray. And in that type of household, my mom, when she was a little girl, she would lay in her bed and she would so hunger for God, she would start to speak in what she called a baby language. She didn't know it. She was already getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. She said, I would pray in this language. She said, I didn't know what it was. It was like a baby language. And she said, this is just for you, Jesus. This is my language for you. Now, it wasn't later that religion taught her not to do that. Okay? Now, when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we must be unashamed.
That's right.
Because I see in the Pentecostal churches, not being negative, where they're putting it in the back room because they don't want to offend the people. And I'm not being negative, but I'm thinking, Lord Jesus, I am not ashamed of tongues. I am not ashamed of that Acts experience. We're a peculiar people because we're peculiar. And as soon as we try to start blending into people's flesh, the power will dissipate. I said, thank God for the Welsh revival. Thank God for Azusa. And I thought, for my own nation, I thought, you know what? God may not feel fit to ever do that again. So you better not let it go. You must hold until relieved. Too many war movies, sorry. So later down the line, when the charismatic renewal came in the early 70s, my mom and dad got baptized in the Holy Spirit, where she realized, hey, I had this already. And then she started realizing there was a message called faith. And she started to devour how to walk by faith, how to walk with authority. Because she had these little, as we say, little Indians running around her that would need a touch of prayer over and over and over. And she got so latched into the message of faith, not robotics, because, you know, I've been around for some time and I know what the robotics are. But there is a spirit of faith, a message of faith, and there is a doctrine of faith that the church needs in order to rise up so that she can do the impossible.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I remember as a little boy going to sleep at night and the little shadow of my mama walking in my room saying, Lord, I declare that the spirit of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is on my sons. They have wisdom 10 times greater than those around them. This is what she, and she would go down the line. And then she'd say, devil, you're not having my children. And she, you know, different prayers. But that was pretty much the core, as a little boy, what I remember. Now, with my life and my brothers, let me tell you, we just weren't born again at young ages, and there was no battles for our lives, and everything was sweet. Let me tell you, it's called the fight of faith.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, my mom waged that war.
Yep.
With her faith, walking the floors, declaring the word of God, and telling the devil, you're not going to take them to hell. They're going to fulfill their callings. They're going to fulfill their purposes. They're going to do what God assigned them to do. And I don't care what I see. I'm declaring by faith their purposes come into the earth and achieve for God. I mean, this lady was tenacious. I sit back and I think some of the things that I've seen, and I'm so happy that the Lord, you know, showed. I get to see some things. by just walking with faith in the Lord. But I think, really, thank God for Mama. And thank God for Mama, my grandma. Thank God for the faith, the prayer, and the tenacity. And I think everything I do is just making her crown bigger. And I'll be happy if I get to carry her purse in heaven. Anything else, Mom? But my mom, she's still today. She's in her 70s. And she still says, what are we believing for? I got the women of prayer. We're praying. I want to know your schedule. I want to hear what is God doing. You know, some people have the, you know, we talk to Mom once a month, you know, or once a year. My family, we're talking all the time.
Amen.
I shocked somebody. Yes. They said, oh, you have a relationship with your brother? Oh, yeah, sometimes we talk twice a day.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Sometimes he'll call me and say, I got a revelation. And he'll go through it, and then we'll talk. And then he'll call me back a couple hours later. And this is the extra. He says, I just sent you a book through Amazon. Check it out. It has to be because Mama's faith would become a household of faith.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm coming here to share this with you is that somehow, maybe in your heart, you'll be encouraged.
Yeah.
You don't go by what you see. If you go by what you see, you'll give up, you'll grow weary, your hands will come down, and you'll never possess the promise.
Amen.
Now let's take a look in the Word of God. Oh, we love the Word, Lord. Let's take a look at Abraham. I really like Abraham. He's the father of faith, isn't he? Well, before that, let me just read a couple things to you to kind of lay a foundation. I'm not the best teacher. I thought I'd just scream, shout, and spit. But maybe I need to slow down a little bit. And you know, Mark 11:22, it says, have faith in God. Now that's the 11th commandment. We know, you know, worship the Lord and don't kill, don't commit adultery. We know the Ten Commandments. But you know what Jesus said? He said, I'm commanding you, have faith in God. It's a command. And in the Greek, when you look at it, what he's saying is have the God kind of faith. Tap into God's faith. You know, and let me say this. Have faith in God. Good translation. I like it. It's wonderful. But you know what? I think it's better if we stick with the Greek, have the God kind of faith.
Yeah.
Because what we're doing, we're coming into his faith.
Yeah.
To walk with him, work with him, empowered by him.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes you can almost be deceived to think it's what you're going to do. You can't believe for anything unless he's already released his faith and his word for it. So when you hear his word, you are coming into that river of faith. By faith, we understand that what? The worlds were framed by the word of God. He's a faith God. Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. He expects us to have it. Now watch. Let's look at a couple scriptures, and then I want to talk about Abraham. What did Jesus say about faith? It's good to know what he said about faith. Okay? Now, a lot of churches wouldn't let me preach this, but this is kingdom faith. Matthew 8, verse 10. You can just jot these down. He said this, so great faith. So he put the word great in front of faith, meaning faith can be great. You have the potential to have great faith in you. Come on, some of you need to wiggle in your spirit and start going, you know what? It's time to break the bands and rise up. And the devil's going, please don't do it. Don't do it. I like where you are. And you're going to say, no, no, no. It's time to get up. I have been on this side of the mountain long enough. Yeah, but you can't do that. You need to say, shut up. Stop talking to me. I take authority by faith. Bing. Breaks off. And you say, that was just a little barking chihuahua. Ah. He said some nice things about me, but he didn't say I was cultured. Matthew 8:26, he says, you of little faith. Oh, he rebukes him. He says, your faith, little. That was a rebuke. So here they go, great faith, little faith. There can be measures of faith. Matthew 9, verse 2, seeing their faith. You know, faith can be seen. It's like the wind. You see the effects. He was seeing the effects of their faith. He said, I see your faith. Jesus can see faith. He can see your faith. Matthew 9:22. Thy faith has made you. Say, thy faith hath made you. I like that because in this story it was a healing. But you know what? I know what faith in my mother and my own faith by following him has made me different than I would have been if I stayed in the cornfields of Ohio and just married a local girl and didn't say yes to God's calling. Okay, God's calling. So when I said yes to God and started walking by faith to follow and worship him, guess what? His calling makes you. But your faith has to be involved. He makes, so your faith can made. Say made. Faith can made. I'm not an English teacher either. Matthew 9:29, according to your faith. Blind men came to Jesus, said, Jesus, have mercy on us. What do you want? Now, Jesus knew what they wanted. But you know what? Jesus, you just know what I want. I'm not doing anything. But you're Jesus, you're sovereign. Yeah, but I'm not doing anything. What do you want? Yeah, but you know it. He wants you to talk. He wants you to start mingling your faith in communication with him. They said, Lord, we want our eyes. He said, do you believe that I can do this? Now, isn't that interesting? Do you believe I can do this? He was putting pressure on them to teach us. Do you believe I can do this? Yes, Lord. When they said, yes, Lord, then he touched their eyes and said, your faith, according to your faith. Oh, but Lord, you're sovereign. You're going to do it. It's not what he said. If we stick with what he says, we do a lot better. We're healthier. And you know what? It should challenge you. Sometimes I read, I say, okay, this is what you said. I don't quite understand it, but here I am before you, Lord. Will you just take time and help me understand what you're saying? And then you know what? Maybe instantly or and maybe within the week, he'll begin to show me what he means. Yeah. Ah, thank you. Thank you. Not because you're real. Thank you, Lord. You're not just a religious activity, are you? No, I'm real. And you're good, aren't you, Lord? I'm really good. Yeah. Matthew 14:31. Thou of little faith. There it is again. I tell you, Jesus messed you up. We're walking with Jesus, just feeling good. No, he's saying, you're little faith. Oh, sorry, Lord. Jesus knew where his disciples were. Sometimes you got great faith. Sometimes you have little faith. And then he says, Mark 4:40. I love this. How is it that you don't have any faith? He's shocked. These guys are with him day and night. He walks on water. He multiplies the loaves and the fish. He's teaching, teaching, teaching. And then I believe it's a God setup to teach them and to give them an opportunity. And guess what? They just fail. He says, how is it after hanging out with me, hearing what I teach, doing what I do, you have no faith? Now, here's a question for you, and it's for me too. Have you ever been in a boring church service? His toes are going in. Don't step on my toes. I have. I've been a lot of them. They exist. Now, okay, let's put that aside, but let's deal with something here. What I found is if the pulpit does not come out with a spirit of faith to administrate the word, whether it's on faith, healing, or holiness, it will not administrate right. But I've also found the pulpit can be full of faith, but if people coming through the doors aren't adjusting themselves to hear by faith, receive by faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's just as much your responsibility as it is the pulpit. And you're not, you know, Jesus is Jesus. He didn't, you know, talk one way with some people and talk another way, you know. He was straight with them. You have little faith. Now, I've noticed back home, it might be the same here, ministers are afraid to talk strong about faith. Because why? So-and-so thought that they were believing and somehow it didn't come to pass. So preachers feel intimidated to talk like Jesus. Let me tell you something about faith. We were sold out by a man named Adam and Eve. Jesus said everything was lost, but in my sovereignty, I'm going to work a plan in order to turn this thing around. Adam was clothed in the glory of God. I like reading about the temple. When the glory came down on the temple and the priests all fell down. Remember that? That's what Adam walked under. Can you imagine that? He was walking under that Shekinah glory. He was the God of the world. And he was made in the image of God. He was the Son of God. God set this thing up. He gave him a garden. And the operation was faith. There was no fear in that garden. The Lord had spoken his word. The atmosphere was impregnated with the word of God and faith, walking in the glory of God. I just wonder the animals, if they didn't kind of bow down to God's prince upon the planet. I don't know. We'll have to watch the VCR in heaven, you know. Now listen, when Adam sinned, he died. The Shekinah lifted off of him. His body was mortal, and in the place where there was righteousness and faith, now it was sin, death, and fear. Welcome to the planet of reasoning. Adam reasoned. Eve reasoned in her mind. Okay? Growing up in the homes, we were taught reasoning. Amen? We were taught fear. We were taught this world. And God is trying to get a bride back into the glory, back to walking by faith. And let me just say this. Sometimes we fail in our faith walk. But I want to say this. Thank God we tried. There is pleasure in God seeing his people attempt to walk in this realm and to battle all that's out there against it, whether individually or corporately. And that's why there's one little verse, love covers all. Meaning, if you have a faith failure, you should be able to come in here and the love here covers it in order to restore you and get you back up to a place of walking in faith. Faith works by love. I've had faith failures. I bet you've had them too. But God gave us dominion on the planet. We're the ones who have to learn to walk in these things. And you know what? Even with my failures, he takes the sting out of it. Why? I'm learning so that on the other side, I'll have a story with all of you of how we learn to walk in the supernatural in the midst of that battle. Because on that side, there's no battle. There's just the reward. There's the promotion. There's the placement. We don't deserve the reward, but he gives it because he is good. What was that time? I don't know if this is even helping you. Jesus, I believe it is because I prayed. Let me read something to you. Are you encouraged?
Yes.
Let's look real quick. And you can go back and study this, okay? Yeah. Romans 4. It says this about Abraham. Let's start in verse 21. Being fully persuaded that what God promised, he was able to perform. So later in the life of Abraham, he had gotten to a place where he was fully persuaded. And if you're fully persuaded, it opens the door that you can be halfly persuaded. Amen? He was fully persuaded. Now watch this. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through what? Unbelief. So is it possible in our faith walk to stagger in the realm of unbelief? Sure it is. Says it here. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So you can be strong in faith. Being not weak in faith, he considered not the problem or the impossibility. What? His own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old. Neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. We let this teach us of the capacity and the ability that's in us to rise up in faith, to be able to be in a position to do what God asked. And we say in the natural, this is impossible, but there's a substance on the inside of me to be able to do this. That's life. Real quick, Hebrews. Y'all quiet in this Presbyterian house, Catholic house, Baptist house, modern Pentecostal house. Hebrews 11. By faith, verse 8. When Abraham was called to go to a place that he would have to receive for inheritance, he went out not knowing where he was going. He wasn't out wandering. He was walking in faith. He could see what others could not see. He could hear what others could not hear. He was in faith. Where are you going, Abraham? Sometimes he thought, I can't tell him because I don't even know. And he can't say, I'm walking by faith, because they really didn't understand that. He just got on with it. Sometimes you just have to get on with it. Put your head down and go. It's a lot of people talking about you. By faith, he lived in a land of promise, but it was a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. He looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. It was through faith she received the strength to walk in the miracle. She, by faith, received the strength. Sometimes you don't need the miracle. You need to say, God, I need the strength to walk in the miracle. Interesting thought. I threw that one in for free. Verse 17. Are you ready? Should I get you standing up? Some of y'all are going to sleep on me. I can feel it. I'm getting a little tired. By faith, Abraham, we're going back to Abraham. Now watch. When he was proved. He wasn't tempted like sin. He was being proved. You see, this man was a man that he came out of Ur, went up to Haran. His father was an idolater, and God said, leave him behind. So he left Haran, his father in Haran, because his father was an idolater. Separate yourself from him. He started to follow by faith. But when you look at Abraham's life, he didn't do everything perfect, did he? His life was a life of learning how to trust God, how to walk with God. Sometimes he made mistakes. Sometimes he really hit it. But his life was a life of walking by faith. Now watch this. What was God wanting with Abraham's life? This. You're not ready for this. I'll just tell you that right now. You're not ready. Some of y'all think about Carvery. Now watch this. By faith, when he was proved, he offered Isaac. He that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Why? Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall the seed be called. Why? Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him as a figure. Now what was happening? This life of faith is not just for today. You ever see Christians thinking, oh yeah, I'm walking by faith, and then a year from now you're like, where are you? Well, I tried that faith stuff. It was a fight. Yeah, it's a fight. You're surrounded by death. And you're also living with you. And you are a lot of times your biggest problem. So many times we're ready to say, well, maybe it was God's will. Well, maybe you were messing up. I tell the story. I was worshiping in a church service. I was with my family. My wife was there worshiping. And I could sense. I was like the angel of the Lord was standing behind me. I just felt the anointing. And I'm often used to that when I carry the cross. I know God's protection is around me. I know it. And I just got quiet. I said, Lord, are you trying to speak to me? Speak on. What revelation is coming? And then this voice came to me in my heart. He said, you left the iron on. That can't be you. You left the iron on. So my wife is worshiping. She's just worshiping God. And I'm like this. I said, I better drive home and figure this one out. I said, honey, excuse me. She's like, where are you going? I'll be back. I went home. I went up into my bedroom, and there's the ironing board. There's the iron. It's plugged in, and it's hot. And then I remembered my little daughter came in. She was goofing up. She's being real cheeky. And so I was messing with her, and I forgot to unplug it. And I unplugged it, and I just stopped. I said, Lord, thank you. He said, I'm always talking to my children.
Yes.
He said, they're not always listening. I said, Lord, I got this funny feeling. If my house burned down, there'd be a lot of Christians saying, maybe that was God's will. And they didn't know it, that you spoke to me.
Yeah.
And I wasn't listening. The secret's with the Lord. He settles everything at the end. So many times we're willing to blame him for it. You know, the holy way of blaming God, he's sovereign. God is sovereign. He knows how he wants to do it.
Listen.
His word already told you how he's going to do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's our lives getting us into an alignment. Right now, you know what's happening? There's corrections being done in here. Correction. Straightening. So yeah, right there it is. Just yield to it. Because for you to go the distance in your home first, that's what he cares about, your home. There has to be some corrections on your pursuit of faith in him. Some of you actually need to pursue him. You're not pushing in enough. You're allowing this to push in for you. But that pushing in of knowing him and listening to his voice, being sensitive to him and walking by faith, trusting him. He knows where you are and where you're not. He's an author and the finisher of faith. He wants to develop you. But you've got to be there for him to develop you. Amen? Amen? Because he loves you that much. And when you allow him to do that, that faith in God in you brings great blessing, breakthrough. And you just are astounded and you say, Lord, you're really good. And you know what he'll say? I'm better than that. Amen. Stand to your feet. I'm sorry. I probably preached a little bit too long, but I'm not really sorry. I say that. That's all right. It's all right. Why did I read that story? This is why. God brought Abraham to a place where Abraham believed in resurrection. He believed that, God, if I kill Isaac, you have to raise him back to life in order to fulfill the promise of God. That was the pinnacle of Abraham's faith, where God was schooling him to get him to that place so he could mark the seed of Abraham with resurrection faith.
Amen.
The Jewish nation from that point on, whether they knew it or not, had a mark of resurrection. Wasn't hard for resurrection to be in Elijah's life, Elisha's life, the valley of the dry bones, Elijah's tomb, they throw the man down and he gets back up. Jesus raised the dead all the time. Why? Because a covenant man with God came to a place in his faith where he was able to mark the nation in faith for resurrection, which God needed in the earth for that covenant and plan, God with man, to be mature, complete, fully persuaded that God can do it. Whew. And it's like that with us. We're learning daily faith. But you know what? Our lives should be progressing in a certain faith so that at the climax of our life, we hit that. Pshew. in God before we go on home. We've reached some kind of a bell that we ring with faith. I've got things in me that I want more. I think, God, I haven't tasted these things. And I'm sure you're the same. Amen. Let's raise up our hands and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for my friends. Lord, I know that you're coming soon, but that's not really what we're looking at. Even though we pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly, because you commanded us to pray that. But Lord, also, Lord, I'm praying for my brothers and sisters and myself. Lord, the joy of this walk of faith, this walk, this fight, this substance, this victory, this shield of faith, the very faith that created the universes, the very faith that raised Christ out from the dead, that we're able to walk and to live in that faith. Lord, I am asking that revelation would be working in these people's lives today, that they would find breakthroughs as they go into their homes, as they go into their jobs, that they would speak words that would literally change companies' direction. Father, I thank you that words like a small rudder can change the direction, even in a storm. I'm praying that wisdom would come upon those who are finding themselves in a company that's struggling, that is in a storm. That, Father, one godly person, one godly idea, one godly word spoken can change it. Amen. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. I thank you for ears opening right now. Spiritual ears, natural ears, right now. Every spirit of deafness, you're bound. We're going to hear faith. We're going to walk by faith. And we're going to be without blemish and spot, ready for Jesus to come with eyes full of love and faith. Father, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Clive.
Amen. Eric, even when you teaching, you're still spitting, hollering and shouting, mate. It's great. Love it. What a great word. Now, Eric doesn't realize this, but actually what he has just preached is a prophetic word for us for this autumn. And over the next couple of weeks, when we just kind of share some things, you'll realize why today's message is so important in terms of this dynamic of faith in our own personal lives. And a phrase that he used towards the end, that each one of us needs to push in to God personally, okay? The corporate dynamic that we have together doesn't make your life happen, okay? You push into God, you press into God. That's when things really happen in your life. But being part of a corporate body that is pushing into God then helps with that personal pushing in and pressing into God. But there's a dynamic of faith that God is wanting to grow and develop amongst us. And you'll see why that's so important, today's message over the next couple of weeks and where we're going as a church. Because we don't move because of what we see. We move because of what God has said. And as we move because of what God has said, then we see what he has said take place rather than some of the things we're going to share. But we'll wait until we see those before we move. No, God's saying you've got to move. And when you move, you're going to see some things in a different way. So we'll talk more practically what does that look like. But today's message was a prophetic word really for us as a people in terms of this dynamic of faith. And we're going to need to be moving in faith in response to what God is going to be saying to us over the next few weeks as to what it's going to mean for us as a church. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be awesome. Let's thank Eric for bringing a really, really timely word for us today. It's brilliant.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.